Hey gang, you ever tried to figure out the chords to a song and you just can't quite get it right? Well, I have the app for you. That's Ultimate Guitar. Whether you are a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. You also get great tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app from your app store and start playing today. That's Ultimate Guitar. Ew-de-de-doo.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
All right, hello. Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I'm sliding in just in time from out of town to do this intro and outro, put this podcast together and get it out to you, this fantastic conversation I had with the amazing Benjamin Violet from the band Pelvis Resley, who popped out of nowhere in 2019 to shock this Austin music scene. All right, you know how I got to know them was, or how I came across them was, I was watching a morning TV show here in Austin, and the morning news shows here in Austin, some of them have music on them, some of them have it every morning. And I was watching one, and they had this band on, and there I saw them. I saw them with the sound down, and I turned it up. I was like, "Wow, this is a very visually interesting band. What are they doing?" Turned it up, and it was fantastic. Here was this guy playing like this weird country song, but in the style of like this electronic music, and that's what Benjamin does. So anyway, so I watched the show that morning. And then I immediately got on Facebook and looked them up and invited Benjamin on the show. So we started emailing that day. And that night, I was going to go see my friends in Lord Friday the 13th play at Cheer Up Charlie's. So I get there, and who's on bass but Benjamin Violet himself, playing bass with Lord Friday the 13th. And I went up to him and said, "Hey, I'm Johnny. I'm the guy that's been emailing you today." He's like, "Oh, yeah, great." So he came on the show. And man, this band is fantastic. They really are. This whole like country music taken into an electronic sort of like, it's almost like electronic pop, sad country music. I don't know what to call it. I don't know if he knows what to call it. But anyway, they came out of nowhere last year and they're taking over the Austin music scene and people love it. All right. You can find their single Susanna now on Spotify, on Bandcamp, and you can find the band on Facebook and Instagram. They don't have a website yet, but they're called Pelvis Resley. Go check it out. There's a great video on their Facebook page for a song called Three Stones on a Hill. Amazing. It's like Benjamin playing this auto harp in a bed with all these ladies. Get out there and check it out. Benjamin's really great, man. He's got the whole visual thing down. He's a great musician. He's a great songwriter. Fantastic dude. We have a fantastic conversation as well. So that's coming up in just a minute. First, let me tell you about my week. Has been crazy, gang. I feel like for the last couple of weeks, I've been in this song learning mode where I've been just learning songs like constantly. I'm finishing up learning some songs, then I start learning some other songs, then I play the gig from the first set of songs, I play the gig from the second set of songs, and there's just another set of songs waiting for me to learn. I'm still in this zone. I got a lot of songs to learn this weekend. I got some songs to learn today for Skyrocket rehearsal that we have. And I've got some songs to learn for a rehearsal I have Monday for a completely different thing. And so I've been learning all these songs. One of the sets of songs that I was learning was for a gig I did with this company called Song Division. Song Division is a company that brings musicians to corporations to use songwriting as a team building exercise. So you go and do this, and then, so Tuesday I went to Houston, and I went down to do this Song Division gig. And it started off in the offices of this company in Houston. And you go there and you do a little presentation and a guy tells everyone what's going on. It was me, Alex Marrero from Brownout, my friend Eric Jarvis in Houston, and my friend John Lombardo led the thing. He works with Song Division and sings with a lot of bands in Los Angeles and in Las Vegas. And so we go there, we kind of do the presentation, and then you have an hour to write a song with a group of 15 people that are not music people. They are corporate working people using this as an exercise to build their teams. And you write a song with them. Alex, I wrote a song with one group. Alex wrote a song with another group. John wrote a song with his group. And Eric Jarvis wrote a song with his group. And so then after the song was written, you have 1 hour to write the song. It has to have these certain messages in it that the corporation's trying to instill in whatever kind of meeting they're having. And so it has to be focused songwriting. You have 1 hour to write the song. Then you teach the guys this. You have an hour to write the song, teach them, teach the people the song, kind of practice it a couple of times, because then we jumped in a car and we drove to House of Blues in Houston to perform. And then there's a battle of the bands, and each group gets up and you have to learn all the songs from all the things because you're in the band playing. It's crazy. It's crazy. I played guitar in the band. Alex played drums. Jarvis played bass and John Lombardo sang. But we all had to sort of like present these songs. And I didn't win. I haven't won one yet. I actually feel kind of bad about that. Anyway, so then we did that, and then we played a covers set. So I had to learn all these songs on guitar. If you guys know me, I do play guitar, but in Skyrocket, the cover band I'm in, I play keyboards. So I had to learn all these songs on guitar, and then we played a set afterwards. They brought up some people that worked for the company that played instruments. Hey, anyone here play guitar? You want to come up and sit in with the band? Tell us what to do? That got a little sketchy, but our playing was cool. It was a little, we didn't get a chance to rehearse, so it was a little off-the-cuff versions of songs, but it was good. It was a lot of fun. It was fun getting to hang with those dudes all day. My bros, John and Alex and Eric, and yeah, it was a great time. I got to spend Wednesday with my girlfriend in Houston and go visit my grandma and my Aunt Olga. I got to go watch my girlfriend climb. She's a rock climber, so we went to this rock climbing gym where she and her mom climbed, and it was awesome. It was a great day of stuff. And then I did some more stuff there today in Houston with Song Division, a quick thing, and came back home. Now I'm home this evening, and before I get too far into this, let me tell you that Skyrocket, the band that I'm in, is playing tomorrow night, Saturday, February 1st, at 310 Austin City Limits Live. We go on, I think, at like 8:30. Tickets might still be available. Go to skyrockettheband.com or wherever you get the tickets for 310 ACL. I'll put a link to the tickets if you want in the... put a link to the tickets on our Facebook page. How did I get here? And listen, man, if you're new to the show, coming to the show, I'm Johnny. I'm a musician, obviously, and I talk to other musicians on this show. Today we're talking to Benjamin Violet from Pelvis Wrestling, but I do put out a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. This is episode 800 and I don't even 70 something, or it might be 880. I'm not sure. I put out a lot of shows. I don't even know what number it is right now, but there's a lot of them out there, and you can find us at howdidigethere.podbean.com, or you can find us at any of the places where you stream your podcasts, including Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you Google Podcasts, anywhere you find it. You can ask your Alexa or your Google Nest, which I have here. You can say like, "Hey, play the latest episode of How Did I Get Here?" And it will. So yeah, so get out there and check that out and get involved with the show. You can find us on Facebook. How Did I Get Here? Go there, like the page. And if there's any shows that you like, any particular artists that you like and you like the episodes, please share it. And if you can use the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod, I can keep track of it and I'll thank you personally. All right? So that is my plug for the show. Don't forget, you can see Skyrocket tomorrow night, Saturday, February 1st at 310 ACL Live. All right? Let's get to this conversation with the amazing Benjamin Violet from the band Pelvis Wrestling. Once again, you can find them at Bandcamp, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram. Their single Susanna is available now. Check it out. It's great. This band is great. And Benjamin and I have a great, great conversation. So without further ado, here's my conversation with the amazingly talented Benjamin Violet from the band Pelvis Wrestling. Let's get down. We'll be right back.
I just know he died.
Well, I'm sure they're not gonna let his work die with him.
Are you? You're obviously some sort of, not, I wouldn't say a slave to fashion, but you're a person who is in the zone.
I'm part of the goon squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you and Felix in a band together are pretty intense, man.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
It is a vibe, man. Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad.
So great.
I'm just happy to be along for the ride.
Did you see, Benjamin, how quickly I tried to steal your gig at the end of that show that night?
Yeah.
I just ran up to them and I was like, I'll wear anything. If that guy can't make it to a show, I will do it.
Swooped in.
I mean, I don't know if I want to do it all the time like A&R does, because mm-hmm. that's a lot of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's not too bad, though. They're like, they're really kind, pleasant, generous,
they're very kind,
warm.
Pleasant people.
Yeah, you've talked to them in
here. Yeah,
yeah.
You seem like you're nice and warm.
I might be.
Are you?
I might be.
Your music's fucking great.
Thank you.
Seriously. Like, you're brilliant.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take a compliment.
What's going to happen with those three songs that are underground?
Three songs.
You sent me a link.
I sent you a link. It had three songs. It's been updated. It has a full 10 songs now.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
But when is that coming out?
I don't know. We're doing that whole thing where...
Even your shoes are cool and socks.
Oh, thank you. My little jellies.
Yeah, is that what they are? They're fucking platform jellies?
They're little platform jellies.
That's how cool you are? Like, if Kiss wore jellies, that's what they'd wear.
If I owned Kiss, Kiss would wear jellies. Yeah.
You're not inspired at all by the sort of level of glam that they go to?
Oh, no, I'm super impressed by them. I think that they're really useful, you know?
Yeah. That's a good way to say it.
They're perfectly a consumer product, and that's why I want to buy them. I want to recast them with some conscientious queers and instead of like stuck up bigots. I think that their brand deserves better than Gene Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I was a kid when I saw it, and they sang about, I was a little boy, mm-hmm. and when I was 8 years old, a guy showed me Kiss Alive, the album cover.
Mm.
There's a guy spitting blood.
Yeah.
They're wearing like masks, and they're playing rock and roll about like trying to get it on with girls. And it's about, at, you know, it's about 8 year old, 10 year old level of like songwriting with cooler riffs.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, great riffs.
Yeah.
You know, I heard not a single note on Kiss Live is live.
I've heard a lot of different things. I believe it's
accounts?
Probably a mix.
I mean, yeah.
Who cares, really?
You know what I mean? They're all pageantry, so...
The vibe is there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, back to your amazing music.
Oh. Yeah, so we've, just in the past week, we've been in the studio mixing it. It's a full length, it's 10 songs. We're doing that at Estuary, which is a great little studio.
That's the link that I went to listen
mm-hmm.
to. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you got the estuary.com/...
Sorry for the weird
link. It's a secret. Oh, that's all right. No one knows that happened except for you and me.
I have to admit it immediately because it is kind of... I did a sound. I did the wink sound.
So that our listeners at home know that there was a wink involved here.
Sorry, man.
No, that's okay. We don't really know what happens next. I'm trying to learn what happens next. I've released records before, but I've done it poorly before. I'd like to do it better now. I'm not looking to do the thing where I sit on it for, you know, a year. I'm trying to give it something, some kind of attention that it may or may not deserve. So we'll shop it around a little bit. If there's not too much interest, we'll put it out on our own. That's totally fine with me. You know, there's like mixed messaging about what the value of putting something out on a label is anyway. I'm also very confident in my own team's ability to like put this out there in a meaningful way. And I think the work kind of speaks for itself and to a certain degree. Although it speaking for itself speaks only as far as our audience exists.
Right.
Yeah. So,
Well, I will say this. I'm not an A&R guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do A&R guy shit when I see bands I've never seen before. Like, I have to have A&R guy conversations with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Also with A&R.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, with
A&R. We have A&R. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, yeah, you know, we'll make each other laugh. Sometimes he'll see a band and he'll text me like a play-by. I'll be home just hanging out, smoking weed, watching TV. And A&R will be like, oh, my God, I'm watching this band. This is how terrible they are. They just said this in between songs. This last song is called such and such. Like, you know what I mean? Like you do. And sure. So I saw you on television in the morning when I was just there working on podcast stuff, sitting in my undies on my computer.
It's cozy.
And the local show came on, and you guys came on TV. And I was like, okay, this is fucking great.
Oh,
like,
wow.
The song was great, and like, who is this guy? Like, who is this guy?
So
I tell A&R, and he's like, oh yeah, he's playing bass. And I'm like, what? I think I emailed you like a couple of days before I saw you play with them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you were such tight buds with A&R.
Oh man, we've been like, look at that picture back there, man. That's us 21 years ago.
Sure thing.
Yeah, baby. We've been bros since 89.
Wow.
Yeah. We've been bros for 31 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your whole life we've been friends.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to trust people that have long friendships.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. I have very long friendships, so you can trust me.
You seem trustworthy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because also I'm Cuban, so you never know if I'm gonna like you know. Try and
smoke
get it on with your sister, smoke a cigar, get you to invest in some weird pyramid scheme that I'm going to run off with the money.
I might not be up to date on my Cuban stereotypes, so I apologize.
Did you not see Scarface?
No.
Come on, man.
No.
You got to see it.
I think I missed a lot of the whole mob culture stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
How long have you guys been a band? What, a year?
Just over a year. We started in... our first show was October 1st of 2018.
Okay.
And we played our first show because I had been in another band called Andy, which I love dearly.
What a great name.
Oh, yeah. Very searchable on the internet, too.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Andy was a really fun band. It was with two people that I moved to Austin with from Seattle. And we were having a great time doing that. But they kind of moved here to get married and domesticate a little bit. And I was on a different track of de-domesticating. So we were on very different speeds. And as that might sound.
And you were that roommate.
Yeah.
The guy coming in at like 5 in the morning.
Well.
Or like...
I talk a big game. I'm not a very efficient partier, unfortunately. So I still get to bed at a decent hour. Often.
Maybe that is an efficient partier.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I just get it done in a compact time.
Yeah. Don't let it ruin your whole time.
Yeah. But I'm exhausted by the idea of an after party. Don't ask me. Or do, and I'll just say no. But, so they were in the process of getting married. They were in the process of planning their wedding and turning down a bunch of show offers because they were otherwise occupied, which I knew that they were going to be doing. And then I just thought I'd throw stuff out there anyway. And they'd be like, nah, still not a good time. And they had a very beautiful wedding. And in the meanwhile, I put another band together, which is Pelvis Wrestling. And that's why our first show happened. Our first show happened because a friend of mine from Seattle said, hey, I'm playing there on the 1st of October, and I wanted to play, and I didn't have a band, so I made a band.
That's always the best way to do it. You get the gig, and then you get the band together.
It's a very Benjamin Violet move.
It's a Johnny Gowdy move.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Yeah?
My first, like, real band from when I met A&R... There was a big show, and there was a girl that I used to flirt with. I worked at Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah.
And she was putting together this big anti-apartheid concert 31 years ago. And she says, oh, hey, you know, you have a band, you have a band, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you can open the show. And I'm like, okay. And I had to get a band. She's like, what's the name of the band? I'm like, oh, we've been working it out. Let me get back to you tomorrow or the next day. And I literally put a band together that night on the phone.
Wow. You did that.
I mean, you do that. Wait. You do that. You know Metallica?
Mm-hmm.
Lars Ulrich. There was a guy making a record, and he was like, hey, I got a spot for you. You got a band? He's like, yeah.
Metallica materialized.
And the Metallica materialized, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's called Fake It Till You Make It, but you got to be able to... You got to be able to make it.
You
can't just go around faking it the whole time.
Yeah, you got to be able to back up that talk, because there's a lot of talk.
Yeah, there is a lot of talk.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name? Why the name?
Pelvis Wrestly. It's got a few little slices to it. It's a spoonerism on Elvis Presley.
Okay.
So that's one thing. It was going to be, I came up with it originally as a drag name, but then I remembered that I'm not interested in pursuing a career as a drag queen. So then I just had this name that I liked a lot.
What now?
What?
There's a career as a drag.
Oh, there's no like career as a drag queen.
Right. Okay.
It was like,
okay.
I came
it's
up with
fun.
It.
It's like a hobby.
I was like hanging out with my pals and, I was like, wow, Pelvis Wrestly, that would be an amazing drag name.
Yeah.
And then I held on to it, and I definitely am not looking to expend my energy in that way, mainly because I can't afford the makeup to that degree. But that's beside the point.
You gotta spend it on the clothes, man.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta pick your battles.
Yeah. Plus you have a nice enough face. You don't need all the makeup already. You know?
I still like the makeup, but this is so much of it.
There's a lot of it in it. Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed by the craftsmanship.
Are you friends with Amy Lombardi, the TuneCore lady here?
No.
She runs TuneCore?
Mm-mm.
She's a huge drag fan. She's like a drag groupie.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah.
She's at all the shows, living it up. She has a little dog and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Seems like a lady with a little dog is into drag.
Just like, it comes to the show.
I don't know if it makes it to the show.
Does it not make it to the show?
I don't know.
Does it not have the right
I don't know,
ID?
But it's a whole scene. I've never been in it because I've always been in music.
I was more into it in Seattle. I was in Seattle back in the Jinx Monsoon days, and then the Ben de la Creme days shortly after.
You had a band called Ben de la Creme?
Oh, those are drag queens. Yeah, some of the best dang drag queens in the world.
Oh, okay.
But decide the
dude,
point.
You should use Ben de la Creme as a band name.
I can't. That's fucking great. Taken by Ben de la Creme.
But isn't it two different IPs if you're not a drag queen? If you're,
I don't really want to put my pads on her terrain. You know.
You're a good person.
Well, I just also want internet disambiguation to be a thing.
Ooh, disambiguation? Is that really a word? Are you throwing some shit around?
No, it's a real word. You can see it on Wikipedia. Anytime you look up, if you look up can, you'll get a page that says disambiguation, can the band, or can the thing beans come in?
Can we do a morning show like on the radio here?
Okay.
Don't you think we'd be great?
I think it'd be fine.
Johnny and Ben.
Yeah. As long as we can stay on topic.
No, that's the radio, the morning show.
Meanders.
They love it. They're driving. They, you know, you stop, you go to work. Okay. So, where are you from, Ben?
I'm from right here. I grew up here.
You did?
Yeah. I grew up in Austin, Texas, in Oak Hill.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice area.
Yeah. It's not so bad. I experienced it more or less as a suburb. And when you live in a suburb, it could be a suburb just about anywhere.
Right.
So I lived anywhere, I suppose. I didn't really get out into the city too much until mid-late high school. I started playing in my first band. It was a piano-driven emo band. We played at Red Eyed Fly exclusively.
Outside?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Back when Red Eyed Fly outside was a thing.
Yeah.
They were booking a lot of all-ages shows there, which was a really sweet, special thing. And then I peaced out of Austin right after high school, moved to Seattle, lived there for 10 years.
Why?
The short answer is for school. The slightly longer answer is for love.
For love.
For love.
Okay.
Yeah. Went to Seattle to see about a love situation.
Did it work out?
No. It didn't work out. That's okay.
Okay. Was it a person from here?
It's a person that I had met here.
Okay.
And then moved back to Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all right. So what was your school? What were you going to go to school for? Are you going to school for?
I went to school for illustration. I wanted to be a filmmaker. And they didn't have a film program, but I wanted to go to the school. So I settled on illustration.
What kind of films did you want to make?
I think I just wanted to, if I'm honest, I think I just wanted to remake all of Michel Gondry's films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like wanted to do like weird. I'm like very drawn to like very like visually compelling things.
Yeah,
like visually based story.
I was just talking to him about him to my my girlfriend the other day.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. He's a guy that started in videos, music videos. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I ended up doing. I was in school for illustration. I used every illustration project to teach myself animation, and then I used animation skills to start trying to get music video gigs. Ended up getting the Polyphonic Spree's attention.
Oh, no shit.
So I did a bunch of their music videos, three or four. And then...
Really?
Yeah. And then worked with the Toadies a little bit. And
wow.
Yeah. Love it. Love that animation lifestyle. Makes me feel like a powerful wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Polyphonic Spree, just a quick aside. This will make you laugh. Do you know My Jerusalem, that band?
No.
Okay. They're a band. They're really good.
Okay.
You might like them. Check them out.
I'll check them out.
So my friend Jeff from that band, this was back in, when did they come out? Like 2001, 2002 or something? Mm-hmm. And we saw them outside at Stubbs. We were with Andy Langer. You know him from ACL Radio?
That name sounds very
He's familiar. Been on the radio since you were a kid.
Okay.
Here in town.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
was
the three...
Was he on 101X?
Yes, he was on 101X.
Yeah,
he
okay, that's... Yeah.
The next big thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
So we go see Polyphonic Spree one year at South by Southwest, and Jeff and Andy are Jewish, and Polyphonic Spree comes on stage, and I'm like, man, I was watching a 26-person band... It's hard not to watch them and go that, man, how does everyone get to rehearsal on time? Can you imagine if everyone is like 5 minutes later than the last person? Like, you're fucking like 3 hours into rehearsal, you haven't played a note because not everyone's there, and then people start leaving 5 minutes at a time. Like, just the stress of like watching, how do they get to the van? How do they travel? How do they get here? You know what I mean? Like, what? I can't watch this. I couldn't enjoy it at first because it was too stressful.
You're too stressed out by the logistics.
So I look at Jeff and I'm like, isn't it stressing you out? He's like, it's stressing me out, but it's stressing me out for completely different reasons.
Oh, no.
And I was like, why? And he goes, because I'm a Jew from New York and 26 Southern people just walked on stage wearing white robes.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Which their message is the complete opposite of the KKK. But it was a really funny, like...
Yeah.
I laughed a lot that night. Yeah, sorry.
No, it a true thing. I think they...
So you got to be buddies with Tim?
Got to be buddies with Tim. Tim's been a very sweet friend.
Yeah.
He took Andy, the band I moved here with, on tour with them down the West Coast.
How awesome is that?
It was so awesome. It was so cool. It was like a dream come true.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm... They have a new record coming out soon. I'm very looking forward to that.
Yeah. So you made some videos for the Toadies too? Made a video for the Toadies or?
I didn't make like an official music video, but I did some like video work for them. They have like a annual festival called Dia de los Toadies.
Dia de los
and
los
so
Toadies.
I did some like promo video stuff, some promo animations for that. But I was mostly working for that the record label that kind of like covered all of those artists, Kirtland Records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you friends with Johnny?
No, Kirtland? I've met him very briefly.
He's an old friend of mine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I was in a band, Mr. Rocket Baby, and we had the same booking agent as Deep Blue Something, and we toured a lot together, and we're really close friends.
Man, that's great.
To this day.
That's amazing.
This day.
Tell him hi from me. He won't remember
I will.
Me.
Okay.
But yeah, all the same.
Yeah. So, man, that's amazing. You've had a cool journey.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So let's go. When you were a kid and you lived here, what do your parents do? What's their deal?
My parents are these really cool, kind of like conservative hippies. They're like conservative hippies.
Were they like old Austin, like Armadillo, kind of like?
No.
Continental Club kind of parents, or?
They were
broken spoke kind of parents.
No, they weren't like out and about too much, but they really cared about. I guess I would characterize them as saying that they would never buy particle board furniture. So they're very concerned with like material. Not that they're materialistic, they're like very wary of things that have edifice, and
yes.
They're looking for things with substance. So
that's a great way to describe. That's really cool.
We were in the suburbs, and they love their barbecue, but they like wanted us to understand what meat meant, and so my dad, who is an electrical engineer and just very engineering minded. Parceled out our little, quarter acre, or if it was even that big, I doubt it was even that big, suburb backyard, and was like, okay, garden goes here, wood shop goes here, and then the rabbit barn is going to go here. And then he built this rabbit barn, and then we got a bunch of rabbits, and we're breeding them, and every about once a month we'd have Slaughter Saturday, where the whole family just basically ran a little slaughterhouse just to give us exposure to be like, okay, well, if you're going to be participating in meat consumption, you need to like understand what blood looks like and understand what death looks like and understand that you are like, you're imbibing something that has died. And they were not particularly sentimental about it. And they didn't even like explain it or make it a big deal. It was just kind of like a part of our lives. So they do that now. Or they did that then, and now they live out in the country now. They have like a much larger, they did what they could with the tiny little suburb plot, and they like, we need more space.
Yeah.
So now they're doing horses and chickens and a bigger operation.
But the horses live, right?
The horses live.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't lost a single
So
horse.
Let me ask you this, after that experience, are you a carnivore or a vegetarian?
I'm a vegetarian.
From that experience or from something else?
I wouldn't say from that experience. Like, that experience didn't put me off so much that I wanted to stop eating meat. But I guess back in college, I started feeling weird about, I didn't start feeling weird just about, meat consumption, but all consumption. It's just a frustrating situation that in order for us to, like, perpetuate ourselves, we have to, like, use energy from other things, and those things are always living, like whether it's plant or animal. It's just like, it's a frustrating structure. And so, but that didn't really stop me from eating meat. The decision to stop eating meat was actually much more recent, which it's just been building up, and just thinking about pig spaces when I'm eating what would otherwise be like a very delicious pulled pork sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, like, the amount of stress that it was giving me was not equaling the amount of pleasure it was giving me. So,
must have been eating at the wrong place. No, I'm just sorry, I didn't mean to make a joke about it. But that is, yeah, you're
no,
right.
No, no.
You're right. You know what? I detach myself from that whole process so that I don't have a problem eating pulled pork sandwiches.
And I might say that it was like, That seed was definitely planted by my parents being like, this is the cost, are you willing to pay it? And at a certain point, I'm like, I'm not really willing to pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate Ted Nugent, but
I hate Morrissey.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, what were you going to say about Ted Nugent?
Well, Ted Nugent is like an asshole. Yes. I know Morrissey's an asshole, but an asshole with cool hair.
Yeah, he's got cool hair. Is Ted Nugent a vegetarian?
No, he's a bow hunter.
Oh, he's a bow hunter.
He's that guy, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
He even comes out on stage at his concerts and does bow hunting. I'm not joking. He's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And he's a super, you know, Republican jerk, like a jerk.
Of course.
He would be really mean to guys like you and me. He's that kind of guy.
Huh.
You ever get bullied?
Let's see. Sure, I've been bullied. I had a bully or two.
I think everyone has, right? Is it
so
different now? Is it like, I mean, because you and I, we're like 20 years apart in age. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, like, just, you know, I mean, yeah, you got bullies. It's part of the jam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did have the kind of parents that were, my mom was a hippie, but she was still a Cuban lady. So it was like, you come crying to me, I'm going to give you something to cry about, okay?
Oh, boy.
And you're like, whoa, okay. She's like, you go kick his ass. So she was that kind of hippie. Like,
right, throw you back
smoking
in the
weed,
rain.
But like yeah. Go kick his ass. What are you? You want me to give you something to cry about?
Yeah, in the words of MIA.
Yeah.
I really love a lot, but I fight the ones that fight me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So anyway, so yeah. But, I mean, you know, a guy with stylish flair.
Mm-hmm.
Cool hair.
Yeah.
Misunderstood sometimes in a Texas world.
Time or
not
two.
Not so much Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see a little Oak Hill, little suburb, little. Were you like in theater and shit when you were in?
No.
Why did I say it like that? So you were in theater and shit?
I went to high school? I went to like a really small high school. So no one could really get away with bullying. Because I feel like one thing that you need to be in order to be a bully is to have enough separation between you and the bullied.
Yeah.
Like there has to be like a vast difference.
Yeah.
I tried really hard not to say vast difference, which is a part of the penis.
But vast difference. The cool part.
It's a cool part. I believe it has a lubricative property.
Down, okay. Down, down, down.
But I feel like our school is too small to really support any like large scale outward bullying.
It was
more like really really subtle undercutting that like screws with your like your emotional states and your psychology over a long period of time. That's the kind of bullying it was.
Social media and shit when you were in high school? Was there MySpace?
There was MySpace.
Did you have an active MySpace life?
I had a pretty active MySpace life. Yeah, I had a top six.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I didn't figure out how to change the skins using HTML, but that's like the degree I was. I had a top six, but I wasn't changing my skins using HTML.
I had a label. I put out a record, and they had a guy that changed my skins with the HTML.
Oh boy, he thought he was making it big.
I think they paid a lot of money to that dude.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I bet he thought that he like had really tapped into an industry.
He probably did for like 6.5 months.
Yeah, and then
hopefully got out.
2006 came around and Facebook is like, we're not just for colleges anymore.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what in Seattle, what'd you do, man?
I was playing music. I was going to school. I was playing music.
Did you finish school?
That has two stories.
Okay.
There's two ways to tell that story.
Is it a choose your own ending? Do I get to?
Yeah. I didn't graduate. I was 2 credits short. I misread a credit requirement. So I took as many classes I needed to, but I was missing 2 specific credits.
Okay.
And it slipped by the wayside. And, you know, it hasn't really come up. So I know my mom really wants me to get it taken care of, but I feel like I'm kind of doing okay.
You still involved in film? I mean, do you still do stuff with...
Yeah. I just made a video for Jamie Harris.
What?
Yeah.
For what song?
Depressive State.
in a depressive state. Yeah.
How long am I feel this way? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be, it just got accepted to the Lake Travis Film Festival. So
it's already out. Wait.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Oh, I saw that video. That's a great video. You did that?
Yeah, I did that. That was me. That was my little pictures.
We got to hang out all the time, man. We do, man.
I'd be totally down.
You do cool shit.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. You have a cool band. Mm-hmm. You write cool songs.
Thank you.
You dress really cool. I think I would look stupid a lot if I was hanging out with you. I don't think you'd want to hang out with me. I would look weird.
Oh, well I don't
look
wear
at
my
me.
Friends.
I'm wearing a fucking hoodie and like these. I don't even know what they are. They're like a weird pretend European sockless shoe.
Yeah. I'm not really looking to use people as accessories.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where the boundary lies.
It's true.
Yeah. We'll just be hanging 10.
Okay. It'll be me that'll be feeling bad the whole time. Like, I'll be I know.
Well, that means you have some self-work to do.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. And shouldn't be letting people make you feel inferior.
They don't. It's me. I'm my own worst enemy. Are you your own
you
worst
shouldn't
enemy?
You should feel insecure about other people. Yes, I am definitely my own worst enemy. People are really nice to me.
They should be. People You're really nice. You're a nice person. You bring a lot of beauty into the world.
Aw, thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, so does Jamie. Do you know, Jamie and I, we wrote the single off of my last album, and she sang on my last album.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's a world of smallness. Who else have you been making videos for?
Get not a lot there. Recently. I kind of like, I stepped away from it a little bit after the Jamie one. Jamie was so nice. She gave me a deadline, and then I had a minor meltdown, managed to be 6 months late on the deadline, which is not something that I do. Like, punctuality is next to godliness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 7 minutes late, and that killed me for this very meeting. But yeah, I was 6 months late to deliver on that deadline, partially because I decided on a workflow that was going to take way longer than it needed to, and partially because I just got otherwise occupied and decided to start a band basically right in the middle of that project.
Oh, the pelvis.
That's Pelvis Wrestling. Yeah,
Pelvis Wrestling.
So those things were happening at the same time. But it's something that I really miss. I work a 40-hour-a-week job.
What is that?
I work in an office. I professionally develop strategies for managing disappointment is my job. Which is something that I'm very good at doing for other people.
Could you manage some of my dad's disappointment in me?
Yeah. I think I could come up with the right questions to ask.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
Wow, so that's an interesting job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm at the Stitch Fix office.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. Is that an online?
Yeah, it's an online.
I'm 50. Is that from the computer?
It's
from Google?
Yeah. No, it's a styling service. I don't have anything to do with the styling, though. I'm in the customer experience department, and I don't answer client emails anymore, but I support the team that answers client emails.
Do you know my cousin Emily Antonetti?
I don't know. Does she work there?
She's in the far right in this picture.
Take a look.
Can you see her? Sometimes she's got blonde hair and curly.
I'm not sure.
That was like 16 years ago.
Oh. Oh.
My family really drinks a lot when we're at a place.
It
like
looks fun.
Yeah.
Is that at a wedding?
Yeah.
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 I recognize the tablecloth from a wedding that I've been at in the past.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe it was at that wedding.
Oh, maybe. Wow.
That was a terrible wedding. They didn't have an open bar.
Yeah, that's a drag.
You know what my grandma did?
What's that?
This is how Cuban we are. My grandma... My grandma shows up. We're like, it's not an open bar. You mean you got to buy drinks? I'm like, oh, that sucks. So I didn't know about that. So I walk up with one of my cousins. They're like, oh, yeah, that drink's like $12. I'm like, it's one of those little plastic wedding drinks. I'm like, $12? Yeah. Like, this is going to be an expensive night.
Yeah.
So I go back and I sit down next to my grandma. I'm like, man, that sucks. She's like, what? I'm like, I went to the bar, man. These are $12. She's like, I know. next time just get a Sprite. And she brought a bottle of vodka in.
Oh, amazing. She was prepped. She had it.
Yeah, she's 96. She's still rocking it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
She live at...
She's my Coke guy. No, I'm joking.
Is she in town?
No, she lives in Houston.
Oh, okay. All right. That's cool.
You close to your family? Do you have brothers and sisters or anything?
Yeah, I've got a couple brothers.
What do they do?
We're pretty spread out. One is a biomedical engineer, so he's doing research on stroke victims and developing technologies for like basically rebuilding pathways in your brain after you have a stroke.
Right.
He's a cool smarty. And my other brother is a caregiver. He's down in Houston.
Giving care.
Giving
That's
care.
Nice, man.
Mm-hmm.
Need those kind of people.
Definitely.
So what else? What's going to happen with Pelvis? You don't know when you're going to put out this album, but you're going to put it out before it's too long?
Yeah. I don't want to sit on it for too long. I mean, it's also still kind of in the post-production phase, so still have to finish up a few last mixing notes and all that. But what I would like to do, I would like to take it on the road. I'd like to just, you know, get some vinyl pressed and get on the road, get another opening spot with another band and have a little time with it.
It's amazing that you can do that. You're cool.
Yeah.
You are cool. Funny. You're cool. There's a lot of people that can't figure out how to do this thing, and you've gone out and lived and made connections in a real way. You know, and you're good enough to back it up.
Well, thank you. I mean, I don't know how to like materialize the tour that I would like to be on, but that's where I'm hoping the record will speak for itself.
Yeah,
it's got some really really good moments.
What, Three Stones on a Hill?
Uh huh.
That video is so cool.
Oh,
cool.
Thank you.
You did that?
No, I did that with a pretty new production company called Some of That Please.
And that's live? You're doing that live?
Mm-hmm.
That's one shot?
Yeah, live. It was like a one shot. They do like a really cool series of documentary music videos. So they're interested in filming artists in a space that's important to them.
Is that your bed?
It was my bed.
Yeah.
It happened to be my bed. And it happened to be over Thanksgiving, and I had a bunch of friends from out of town that I had been in choir with in high school. So I got the choir back together. And then I was at Flamingo's, that vintage place on the drag.
Yeah.
That's by the pound. And I just bought a bunch of prayer dresses and just made a little like Virgin Suicide set out of it.
It's fucking great.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it's auto harp and stuff. It's, mm-hmm. You know, you're killing it.
Oh, thanks.
Killing it. Who says that?
What, I don't
am
know.
I some douchebag jock from the 80s? You're crushing it, bro.
Well, that's crushing it. Killing
that
it.
That one kills me. Yeah. Some guy put that on commented on a podcast photo of mine just today. And, crushing it.
And even you're like, you don't really want to be crushing it.
I can crush anything. I'm just here trying to get along with people.
Well, you're doing a good job.
Thanks, buddy.
Like, you've got good social skills.
I think so.
Yeah.
You're catching me at the end of a long day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm catching you at the end of a long day.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, these days go.
You have very good energy.
Thank you.
People tell you that often? Is that why people are nice to you?
I think they're nice to me. I think that's why they're nice to me. Yeah.
Do you like that Hofner bass?
Oh, I love it. My dad played one very similar to that, but he played a fretless bass.
Are you like influenced by country music?
Of course. Yeah. Give me my Patsy Cline and my Loretta Lynn's and my Dolly
But
Parton's.
Are you deeply, did you watch that thing, that PBS thing?
I didn't, the Ken Burns like country thing?
12 years.
No, I long. Didn't watch that. I watched the Mike Judge series. Did you see that?
The bus one?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Where
have
he like
time.
Animated interviews with country greats. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. So many cool stories. I feel like country music is really the stuff of American legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And that documentary is really great. Because if you see you, you think it's going to be some weird kind of like Patsy Cline thing. Right?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's what people
But it's
think.
Electronic.
Yeah. Yeah, we went and bastardized the whole thing.
But the structure is still kind of there.
Well, yeah.
Country song.
They were all written on guitar as country songs, but what my real know-how is synthesizer music. That's what Andy was. So I kind of wanted to bridge the gap between that and guitar music, and then got Banam, our violinist, in the mix, who's just like an amazing conservatory kind of violinist. He's the kind of conservatory violinist I trust. He's the kind of conservatory violinist that quit the conservatory.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he
unlearned the stuff that he shouldn't know.
But
kept the stuff he should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But he's such a delight to work with. So yeah, between the synthesizer stuff and working with Santi, who he's our guitarist. His band is called Daphne Tunes, and that's a phenomenal band. That's one of the first bands I saw in Austin, and I saw him, and I thought I'd really like to play music with him. And then a couple of years later, it's happening, which is really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the big plans? Are you in South by Southwest or?
We don't have any official South by Southwest stuff going on yet. Our long-term plans are pretty much, it's basically like we need to figure out what our long-term plan is. It's trying to figure out whether labels are worth it. I would really like to believe it's worth it, because I'm tired, Johnny. I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so much work, and if there's a chance that somebody else wants to do that work because they're good at it and they love it, then man, I just want them to really do that. Because like between
what kind of label do you see yourself on? Like a major label, like Warner Brothers?
I don't want to do that. I would like to do like something. I mean, the dream label would be Matador.
Okay.
That's kind of like, you know, the work that they're doing, the work that they're putting out is pretty beautiful and innovative.
I don't see why someone wouldn't sign you. That was that was like when I saw you on TV, I immediately was like, you know, if I had a label, that's what I would have done. I got a show, and I don't normally just see someone on TV and go like, the fuck?
Well, no one's not signing us.
Right.
But we're just like a new band with like not a whole lot of visibility. And right. I think that labels are primarily interested with working with artists where it's going to be a economical situation for all parties involved.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we necessarily have like the cred to back that up at this point. But I feel confident about the record. I feel confident about what we're bringing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're crushing it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Man, it's been great talking to you. There's no actual website. You're just on Bandcamp.
Bandcamp and Spotify and the Instagrams. That's
and
the best
Facebook
way to...
too.
Mm-hmm. And the Facebook.
The books of the face.
Yeah. But not Twitter. It's too many words.
They actually have a word limit. The rest of them don't.
Well, yeah. I guess it's maybe by too many words, I mean not enough pictures.
That's true.
Yeah.
Too many words, like, going back and forth, too. There's a lot of...
Yeah, I've tried really hard to figure out, like, the Twitter sphere, and I just... It can't hold my attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
Sorry, buddy, I like it.
I mean, I'm glad for the people that are using it to their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it hasn't happened for me. There were, like, two times in college where I tweeted and I thought I was really funny. That, like, I made myself chuckle a little bit, but beyond that...
I make myself chuckle. Like,
do you? Uh-huh. Isn't that a nice feeling?
I just did today. I made myself laugh on Twitter. What an asshole I am.
No! What'd you say?
I said, I just started watching The Crown, so... it's really making me I'm really starting to understand the whole Megxit thing now. Something like that. It was kind of funny.
All right, it's topical. I like it.
It is topical. Thank you. Thank you. Because I didn't understand the Megxit thing. I'm not joking about that. A couple people told me about The Crown. I started watching it a couple nights ago. And, I mean, it's really good.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care about the... I have a grandmother who was English. Mm-hmm. She cared so much about that stuff. She cared about Winston Churchill and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why do they stop TV when they have a fucking baby? They're not even in our country. Who cares? And then they're like, oh, this thing. And my response was like, the actress doesn't want to be a princess, so there's no... So that's like the front page news. Like, whoa, look out, guys. But there's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, unprecedented, they say.
Unprecedented, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like like it's unprecedented.
That's the world we live in.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Do you care about the royal family?
Oh, I wish them well. I don't follow it. I don't follow the whole situation.
You can't escape this Megxit thing, though.
No, I think that it's fascinating. I think that it, you know... I think that it's cool that people are willing to set their own boundaries instead of letting other people like set their boundaries for them.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't have much of an opinion. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not aware of like all of the political implications, but it sounds to me like she's just somebody that has a lot of expectations on her, and she's like, you know what? Nah.
Nah.
Nah. I'm going to maybe just do some of those expectations. She just says the ones that she's into. That's my read on it as someone that's not very informed about the complicated situation that it is.
There are some people that are... My Aunt Maria is like all up in that shit.
She furious?
What?
She furious?
No, she's just like, can you believe it?
Oh.
Can you believe she wants to leave? I'm like, I don't care. There was something I was going to say. You going to direct some Pelvis Wrestling videos?
I got some stuff in the works. In the works.
All right.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is there anything I'm missing, man? Do you have a Vimeo page where people could see the videos that you've directed?
Oh, yeah.
Send me a link to it and I'll put it in the body of the text of this podcast.
I'll do that.
Instead of trying to make someone that's driving try and crash while they're riding this at a red light. Thanks so much for doing the show, Benjamin. You're really cool.
You're really cool.
Yeah, you're very, very talented. I thought you were a great bass player with Lord Friday the 13th, and I wasn't trying to steal your gig. It just looked like you guys were having so much fun.
We do have a lot of fun.
Yeah. I was like, well, if you can never make it, there's ever a time you can't make it, one of their other 45 bass players, like Frenchie or fucking, what's his name from Hong Kong, Wigs?
Mm-hmm.
Handsome bro.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, they want an old guy, maybe a little chunky in the waist area, and too many cookies.
They'll put a cape on you, you know.
I don't mind. I told them I'd wear anything.
You'll wear it. All right. That's what they're looking
just
for.
Just a tiara.
Yeah.
And a sock on my wiener.
No, that's Felix's job.
I love him, man. He's those guys are just great. He made a poster for me.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I never saw any of his artwork, but from talking to him, I asked him I was like, will you make one for me? He's like, oh, do you want to see what I was like, no.
Nah.
Whatever you do is gonna be very it's like, I'm sure all you're great at all the stuff you do.
Oh, shoot. Thanks.
Oh, shoot.
Thanks for covering so much ground with me. I feel like we've been...
You feel like we got some stuff?
Oh, we got so much.
Come back anytime. Like when the record comes out, come back.
Oh yeah.
I'll talk to you anytime.
Fantastic.
And yet, like, let me know when you're playing.
Okay, I will. Our next show is on the 25th of this very month of January.
Oh, this will come out afterwards.
Oh, well.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
I know. There's a lot of shows in the can.
Well, you guys missed it.
But there's more shows. Just look for Pelvis Wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for doing the show, Ben.
Thank you, Johnny.
Benjamin Violet from Pelvis Wrestling. What a great conversation that was, man. What a great dude, man. Check them out. Find them at Bandcamp or on Spotify. That's where you can find their music, and you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. That song that you're hearing there is the single that's available now. Susanna, you'll hear the rest of it as soon as I finish talking. I want to thank Ben for coming in. It was great talking to him, man. He's a very, very talented dude, such an interesting dude, and such a fun guy to talk to. I think we would make a good morning show. I don't know. I don't know. Let me know. All right. Hey, and don't forget, gang, don't forget to follow us on Facebook. How did I get here? If you are a fan of Pelvis Wrestling or you enjoyed this conversation, please share it. Use the hashtag #HowDidIGetHerePod. That'd be great. And I'll acknowledge you. Also, if you're just coming to the show, we get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. So go there and find that. You can find it on Spotify, on Stitcher, howdidigethere.podbean.com, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to some great musician. A lot of them are from here in Austin. And some from all over the world. So many conversations. Go back. Check them out. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Benjamin Violet for coming by. Check out Pelvis Wrestling on Bandcamp or on Spotify, or find them on Facebook or Instagram. Here's the rest of their single, Susanna. Have a great, great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.